And you know, I'm just so thankful. When we were in Greenville and being in the youth pastor over there, you never know what happens, you know, with the people that you spend time with and you encourage. And David Blackstone, stand up, David. Pastor David Blackstone is here, and he used to be in our youth group over in Greenville. And he's pastoring a church in Schenectady. And you know, I don't know how many years it was when we didn't see each other, and I had no idea where he was. But, you know, it's don't stop praying for those that are around you. Don't stop building into the young ones around you. You don't know what they're going to walk through, where they're going to end up, but keep pouring the word of God into them, because eventually they're going to change somebody else's life. Amen? And that's where the power of the word of God is unparalleled by anything else on the planet. And we're just so thankful for that. I'm just going to read this to you this morning to encourage you. On February 3rd at 12:55 a.m., a periscope broke the chilly Atlantic waters. Rough, the crosshairs. Oh, an officer aboard a U-223 spotted the Dorchester. After identifying and targeting the ship, he gave orders to fan the three torpedoes. The one that hit was decisive and deadly, sinking the starboard side. Amidship, far below the waterline, alerted that Dorchester was sinking rapidly, Danielson gave the order to abandon ship. In fewer than 20 minutes, the Dorchester would slip beneath the Atlantic's icy waters. Tragically, the hit had knocked out power and radio contact with the other three escort ships. The Tampa, however, saw the ash of the explosion, and it responded and rescued 97 survivors. The Escanaba circled the Dorchester, rescuing an additional 133 survivors. One died later. The Comanche continued on, escorting the remaining two ships aboard Dorchester. Panic and chaos had set in. The blast had killed scores of men, and many more were seriously wounded. Others, stunned by the explosion, were groping in darkness. Those sleeping without clothing rushed topside, where they were confronted first by the blast of icy Arctic air, and then the knowledge that death awaited. Men jumped from their ship into lifeboats, overcrowding them to one point of capsizing, according to eyewitnesses. Others were tossed into the Atlantic and dried away before the soldiers could get to them, drifted away before the soldiers could get to them. In the midst of the pandemonium, according to to those present, four Army chaplains brought hope in despair and light in darkness. Lieutenant George L. Fox, a Methodist minister, Lieutenant Alexander D. Goody, a Jewish rabbi, Lieutenant John P. Washington, a Roman Catholic priest, and Lieutenant Clark V. Poling, a Dutch Reformed minister. Quickly and quietly, the four chaplains spread out among the soldiers. They tried to calm the frightened, tend to the wounded, and guide the disoriented towards safety. Witnesses of that terrible night remember hearing the four men praying for the dying and encouragement for those who would live. Said Wyatt Fox, son of Reverend Fox, one witness, Private William Bednar, found himself floating in oil-smeared water surrounded by dead bodies and debris. He said, I could hear the men crying, pleading, praying, Bednar recalled. I could also hear the chaplains preaching courage. Their voices were the only thing that kept me going. A sailor petty officer, John Mahoney, tried to re-enter his cabin but was stopped by Rabbi Goody. Concerned about the cold Arctic air, Mahoney explained that he had forgotten his gloves, the chaplain's handbook, Service to God and Country 13. Never mind, Goody said. I have two pairs. The rabbi then gave the petty officer his own gloves. Later, Mahoney realized that Goody hadn't been carrying two pairs of gloves and that the chaplain had decided not to leave the Dorchester. By this time, most of the men were topside, and the chaplains opened up a storage locker and began distributing life jackets. It was then that engineer Grady Clark witnessed an astonishing sight. When there were no more life jackets, to hand out. I read this thing 5 times to try to get through this. I'm trying to find my place. When there were no more life jackets to hand out, the chaplains removed theirs and gave them to 4 frightened young men. Rabbi Goody did not call out for a Jew, and Father Washington did not call out for a Catholic, nor did Reverend Fox and Reverend Poling call out for a Protestant. They simply gave their life jackets to those next in line. It was the nicest thing I'd ever seen, and I hope to see this side of heaven, said John Ladd, another survivor who saw the chaplain's selfless act. And as the ship went down, survivors that were nearby could see the 4 chaplains braced against the slanting deck, arm in arm. They were heard praying and singing hymns. Of the 902 men aboard the Dorchester, 672 died. When the news reached the United States, the nation was stunned by the magnitude of the tragedy and the heroic conduct of the 4 chaplains. That night, Reverend Fox, Rabbi Goody, Reverend Poling, and Father Washington passed life's ultimate test. In doing so, they became an enduring example of extraordinary faith, courage, and selflessness. And they said that valor is a gift, and those having it never know for sure whether they have it until the test comes. I don't know why it wrecked me today. One of the most powerful influences on fear is uncertainty. The less we know, the more threatened we feel. Isn't that true? You know, these men knew who they were. They knew what they believed in. And it's the lack of knowledge means we don't know what we need to know to protect ourselves. It's always a lack of knowledge. That's where people get in trouble. These men knew who they were. And on that day, when they stood up and they gave everything away, knowing they were going to die, knowing they were going to drown, knowing they were going to go down with the ship, knowing they were going to save, but only 4 guys. 4 guys were going to be saved by these men. And I want to encourage you. I pray that every person in here, that we have that same thought process, that 4 people will get saved because of your life being laid down for those that are lost. Amen? That it's not what you want to do, your passion, your place, where you want to go, what your plans are for next week, next month, next year, because the scripture is quite clear. You don't know what's going to happen by next year. And every day we walk past people. There was no walking past these men on the ship. No walking past them. They were walking past trying to get out. And these guys just stayed. And they did their job. Amen? Laying down their lives unto the death. And if there's something that needs to be spoken of in the church, it's about laying our lives down unto the death, because we really don't know what that means. I'm just being honest. I'm an 80s child. I don't know what lack is. And as Paige says, oh yeah, you were one of them born back in the 1900s. Yeah, it's true. But I don't know what lack is. My parents did, but I don't, because there's always been plenty in our lives. In America, there's always been enough food, there's always been shelter, we've always been warm, amen? We might not have had a whole lot, but we've had enough. And we've had more than many. And so when you live in that for a very long time, eventually you start to forget sometimes what God's plan is for our lives, because in the abundance we get lazy. How many agree, right? In the abundance we back off. I mean, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. That afternoon is a backing off, amen? Some of us should put a knife to our throat when we sit down, because you just can't stop trying to please yourself. And there's more than you could possibly eat at a sitting, but you just want a little bit more because it's that day. And then that couch comes and everybody goes into a coma. But can I tell you, that speaks a lot about America and where Christianity is. America has slipped into a coma. My son, Landon's been taking a Bible college, and he was studying about pastors, and he said 1,600 a month are quitting. Talk about falling into a coma. Forgetting what they were called to do. See, these chaplains on the boat, they were called to serve these men. They were called to love them even unto the death. They were called to sacrifice, and they said when they joined, I'll do whatever is called. And then God gave them a greater mandate, and that is to love those that they don't even know. Right? We're to fight against those that we don't know when we join the military. But these guys were told to love the ones they don't know that maybe weren't quite like them. And they went and they laid their lives down. And I want to encourage you. I don't know what the call of God is in everyone in here, but don't lay it down. Don't walk away from it. Don't get lethargic. Don't go into a coma like so many in America are. Don't take it and just lay it on the shelf, because someday somebody's boat is going down in our lives. Someday somebody's boat is going down, and it's going to be people that you know and some that you don't know. But we're going to have the courage to stand up, and this is a time for courage in America. Yes. You're going to have courage. How many Christians are afraid to get in a conversation about all the foolishness that's going on by the federal government? People are so afraid to voice their opinion. Your opinion counts when it lines up with the Word of God. Yes. Why do they get to yell the loudest? Are we scared? Huh? Nope. Is there fear? Is there a spirit of fear that comes and stifles men and women of God, causes them to hold back? Who cares if they call you all kinds of names? Your own family has done that in the past. You still go home for Thanksgiving. Who cares? But this is a time for the church to step up, and I believe that we're in a new season. There's a new season in America, and you're blessed enough to be in it. That's the thought process. God has blessed me to be alive in this season that I'm walking in, because he said I could make a difference. He knew the plan that he had for me long before the world was formed. He knew the day you would be born. He knew where you would be walking. He knew the men and women's lives that you would change. He knew the authority that he was going to give you. He knew the power you could walk in if you wanted to. And he knew the season that he wanted you here on the earth. And that season is now. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Your season is now. Look, we're in fall. Thank God for fall. I love fall. Fall's my favorite time. Amen. The 21st of December is coming. The winter solstice. Shortest day of the year. Then the cold sets in. There's another season coming. Listen, if you say, I'm not paying attention to the seasons, I don't care. I'm just going to put my shorts and a t-shirt on. On the 21st of December, that's my favorite time of year, and I know it's supposed to be warm. It's because you don't know the season you're in. That's right. And it could cost you. It could cost you. You know, there's three verses in Isaiah 46 and 8. It says, you have heard, look at all this. Look at all this. Every time you turn on the television, look at all of this. And you will not declare it. I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. And then Isaiah 43:19, it says, behold, I'll do a new thing. And these have been preached many, many times. Now it will spring forth, and you will not be aware of it. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. In Isaiah 42:9, it says, behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Right? Behold, the former things have come to pass. The way that Christianity was done in America has come to pass. What worked in the 70s isn't working now. What worked in the 80s isn't working now. What worked in the 90s isn't working now, right? Those things were amazing. How come they didn't last? Because God has a next. God has a next for your life. Maybe you were walking strong and then you've teetered out a little bit. You've come in and it's a season that you were dry. God wants to change that season this morning. The former things have come to pass. Your yesterdays have come to pass right now, right this morning. Your past is wiped out. It has no control of tomorrow unless you give it control. Because did he wash away? Did he wipe your slate clean? Did he make all things new? Right. So it's a different season that we're in. In Daniel 2:21, it says, it is he who changes the times and the seasons, or the epochs. It's he who changes the seasons. God's doing something new. He's about to do something new in the church. Why? Because what we were doing before is morphing. I was just with a whole bunch of apostles out in Ohio a few weeks ago, and they said, look, God's doing something different. And he's preparing the church. He's getting the church ready for a great influx, but he's also preparing the church and getting it ready for war. Yeah. But we've got people that don't want to go to basic training. And we've got people that don't want to pray. We've got people that don't want to read the Word of God. I've had people tell me, listen, I don't read the Word. I'm a Christian. I love God. I'm in church. But I don't read the Word. I'm just being honest with you. What am I supposed to say to that person? Great. We're so glad you come to church. I have a whole bunch of things I want to say, but I'm in a new season. People don't want to go to basic training. They don't want to read the Word of God early in the morning. They don't want to spend time in prayer. They don't want to come and they don't want to worship. My wife said this morning, there's a distraction comes to us all, doesn't it? Right? Distraction comes to us all. How many times do you press in and you want to be in there and all of a sudden one thought and your hands are up, your mouth is moving, but your head is not here. Right? That's what the enemy's trick is. And that's why we've got to discipline ourselves and we've got to take every thought captive because it's a new season that God's bringing you into. Can I tell you, the old version of you is not going to be able to handle what God's about to do. You've got an old version of you. You've got a version of you that you actually walked out your Christian walk for maybe for years. I want you to know in this new season, it's not going to work. He's got a new season for each and every one of us. He goes on in verse 21 and says, he removes kings and establishes kings. Look at that's God's job. He gave us who we deserve as a country. As a country, look what's allowed in this country. He gave us what we deserved. He knows. Unless things get tough, we don't fight. Right? How many people squander their marriage? I'll look up at the windows, okay, just because I don't want to get in trouble. But how many people squander their marriage when it's a good time? Everything is going good. We're all right. We don't read. We don't pray. We don't get together. We don't take time away. We don't encourage one another. We're just going through life. And until there's a problem, then all of a sudden, we got to pray more. Why can't we just pray more before the problem? We got to read more. We got to call Kim. Dun, da, da. She can fix it. She went to school for it. She has an anointing for it. She can't fix you. Don't ask her to. Her husband will beat you up. He wants her at home too. She can give you tools. Anne can give you tools in order to walk out in a righteous way in the battle that you're in. They can give you weapons to destroy the warfare that the enemy has against you. They're only going to tell you the same thing that everybody else has told us, and the Word of God tells us over and over and over again. But why is it that we wait until there's a problem before we press in? It says that he gives wisdom to the wise men and knowledge to the men of understanding. He gives wisdom. That word wisdom, it means skilled. He gives wisdom to the wise. Listen, if you're going to read the Word of God and pray, he's going to give you more wisdom. You're going to get it through the Word of God. You don't read and pray, you can ask all you want. Well, I don't know who said it, but I think I agree. And she said, and you ain't getting it. You'll get some. Here's the wisdom that God will give you. Read and pray. But when it comes to word of wisdom and word of knowledge, we're going to have to change the way we do things. This is not about sitting back. He's giving it to those that are skilled, those that are hungry for the word of God, those that are pressing into him, right? If you call to him, then he'll come and spend time with you. Yeah. But we have to be the ones that initiate that. Why? Because that talks about our love affair. Amen? Because when we fall in love with God, other people around us are changed. Tell your neighbor, say, you're changed because of the love of God in me. Jason, you didn't say it to anybody. You say it to me right now, Jason. Say it! Come on, Jason. He's never been here before and probably never come back, but no. He's a man. He likes it. The Bible says he who wins souls is what?
Wise.
Scripture says in Proverbs that wisdom is the principal thing. It's what God wants us to study. He wants us to be skilled in his word, skilled in prayer. He wants you to be so filled that every time you walk into this house, the Bible says we come together, everyone has something to share. Are you a good sharer or a bad sharer? Shall I ask the people sitting around you? Did you share what God has done in your life with anyone? James tells us what wisdom looks like and sounds like in James 3:17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, as you look at all of them, the one that, you know, then peaceable. And sometimes when, as we're living, because I believe that we're a lot closer to the end and the second coming of Christ than we were when I first got saved. I don't know what day it is. But sometimes I think about that, you know, that wisdom is first peaceable. And I'm like, all right, listen, if we're going to walk in these end times, right? If we're stepping into it and the enemy is starting to stir things up and God is getting positioned, ready to send his son, then let's just get it on. Let's get to it. Let's not wait no more. Just send it, Lord. Whatever's got to happen, let's get this finished so we can all get home. You know, peace, okay, let's go to war first, and then the peace will come. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated waiting. I want to get into it. If I die, I die. I don't care. I'm going home, but let's get it on. Let's rock and roll. Send it, Lord. And then I hear this voice, you ain't ready, boy. All right, we'll get back into prayer. We'll get back into reading. I don't know, but that's just my heart. I want to get at the battle. I don't want to wait for it. But God said that we got to have some patience because he's preparing each and every one of us. You know, as we look at this season that we're in, he said he also gives knowledge to men and women of understanding. And that word understanding also means skilled. He said in all of your getting, get understanding. Understand the times and the season that we're living in. The 80s are over, the 90s, the 2000, the early 2000s are over. Now it's a different season. The world is in chaos. All you have to do is have a group of people and you can go rob anywhere you want. You can walk up to anybody you want and punch them in the head, knock them out, and walk home. And when you get arrested, you get let out. You got fathers that are absent, that aren't grabbing those boys by the back of the neck, giving them a shovel and tell them, I want that thing 3 feet deep and a mile and a half long. When you get done, call me. Right? It's complete chaos. We've got young people that are too confused to even know what they are. And I'm talking about in the church, right? Whether it's marriage, whether it's sexuality, in the church, it's filtered in to the body of Christ. We're in a war, folks. And it's a war for righteousness and those standing on the word of God. And you know what? There hasn't been a lot of casualties, but they're coming. The casualties are going to be coming into the kingdom of God because men and women refuse to know what the season is. You know, there's a different season. We've got to get understanding. Because when we plant that church tonight out in Philmont, it's different than being here in Hudson. Right? It's a different season for Philmont. Amen? Every other church is closed. One church is going to open up, and the light and the power and the love of God is going to permeate every house in that area. Every single one. It's a different season than last September, isn't it, Dan? Dan was heading for Wyoming. He was moving. Got the house out there. Son and daughter-in-law living out there. And him and Ann, when Ann retired, I don't know if he'll ever let her retire now. When Ann retired, they said, we're gone once it's all worked out with Mira. But God. Amen. He turned off the news and sat with the Lord out in Wyoming up on a hill. He likes hills. He likes mountains. That's where he finds what season he's in. And then God changed his heart. And he said, okay, different season. Elk hunting has to wait. Living in Wyoming has to wait. Moving west has to wait. Drastic changes, they have to wait. Because there's a kingdom to build. And my God has called my number. You see, we've got to know what season we're in. Will we stop and listen to the voice of God? Turn off everything else and say, Lord, what season am I in? What did you call me to do? What did you ask me to change about my life? How are you preparing me for this? Philmont isn't ready for the season that's coming. Every demon in hell is heading out of Hudson and they're running to Philmont. They are. The devil always wants to kill the man-child.
That's right.
He always wants to kill the new birth, right? We see that in Exodus and all the way through the Word of God, even up to Christ. He wants to kill the man-child. He wants to kill it when it's young. You think you're going to have problems? They're going to enter into a different season when they step into there. It's another season. But thank God they got a victory already before they leave. Thank God you're going to be praying for them because you're not going to stop. You're not going to give up. You're not going to quit. You're going to press in because that's the season we're in. Amen?
Amen?
To come alongside and support them and make sure that everything they put their hands to, it becomes successful in the kingdom of God. Well, they're going there. We're driving a stake tonight. We're driving a stake in the ground.
Amen.
It's going to be a 20-foot stake and we're driving it 16 feet down because the winds are going to blow. Because when there's problems, people are looking for stability. When there's problems that are coming to Philmont, they're going to be looking for somebody that will stand. And there's a whole team that are being ushered in to Philmont. I think we figured it up. There's about 30 people going. Yeah. Isn't that incredible? Do you realize they're going to be the same size as most of the churches in America? Yeah. Most of the denominational churches are less than that. Less than that. And they're going to transform. God did not call them to go pastor a church in Philmont. He called them to go pastor the area.
That's right.
Yeah, I expect them to knock on our door, see if we're saved. We live out there. God's called you to reach an area. He didn't call us just to come and sit here. There's a new season that God's brought us into. Amen? I am not ready, Pastor Jeff. You know, it's a time for each one of us. How many know that, you know, the lobster, he gets a new shell? Some of you didn't know that. But you see, a lobster, eventually, he outgrows his shell. And then what he does when he's getting ready, the soft shell is underneath. When as that lobster grows, all of a sudden, he starts taking in all the ocean water as much as he can. just to build himself up in order to, and then he folds himself in half as tight as he possibly can in order to crack that outer shell. And then he looses that outer shell and that new one starts to get stronger. And a lot of times they'll eat the old shell in order to give them the protein, because when they flush themselves with all the ocean water, and then it takes all the protein out of their body. And sometimes they'll eat their older shell. But when it's soft, they got to find a place to hide. And the females, once they shed their outer shell, then they're in season for breeding. And so a lot of times, then the males will come and protect them until their shells get hard. And this is what's going on right now. We're shedding a shell. We're shedding a shell. We're expanding. The kingdom of God is growing. Another area is going to be conquered by the love of God. Because light, listen, if, like we said in the Navy, right, that you can't strike a match in deep darkness because it can be seen 21 miles. I think that's what the number was. In any direction, the only reason you can't see longer is because of the curvature of the earth. So we strike a match and we reach out 21 miles and then they're out from us and then they reach out 21 miles and we just keep planting churches. Eventually, that light covers the whole area that we live in. Amen? But it's going to take you having the courage to say, I know that my season is changing. It's time for me to rip off that old shell. And right now, while the shell is soft over there in Philmont, it's our job to come alongside of them and to lift them up in prayer every morning. It's our job to come and say, hey, what do you need? And go over there and serve every single person in that house. And we're going to have a list next week of everybody that's going to be going there. And that way you'll get a list so you can be praying for all of them. Because in that new work, I remember how scary it was. I was petrified. Never thought that it would work. But God. And in order to prepare you for a new season, God changes us. Right? He wants new wineskins. He wants new wine and new wineskins. The wine is always the same. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? That wine is always the same. And then we have to change. We're the wineskins that have to change. Can I tell you something that's not in God's vocabulary? That's good enough. I don't know where you're at, but I want you to know it's not good enough. You haven't done enough. There's more that he wants to use you for. There's more lives that he wants to change. But you're going to have to shed that old wineskin, receive again, once again, the inflow of the Holy Ghost. And he wants to expand, just like we're doing, our territory. We're expanding the territory of the kingdom of God by planting a church. I believe that God has got you in a season and he wants to expand your territory. And he wants you to break off that old shell. Every single one of us. I've got to get rid of this old shell. Because the way that we did it yesterday, we're not going to be able to do it tomorrow because he's doing something brand new. It's a new season upon us. And I believe it's a glorious one. I believe this thing is so incredible. I mean, in my mind, all I see is people running into the kingdom of God day after day after day. You know, the season that the world in is not a fun one because it's lunacy. There's no wisdom and understanding. There's no unity in America. It's not the United States of America right now. Not even in the churches. You can't get churches to agree. I can't get churches to agree that we don't walk together in a gay parade. Pastors, I can't get them to agree with that. Yeah, we got work to do. It's a new season that we're in. Prayerlessness is going to cost you. Because you're going to get weak. And then you're going to need somebody else to come in. I want you to know when the Holy Ghost fills you, you don't need nobody else to come in. He said, you don't need another teacher. He'll teach you if you spend time with him. But you're going to have to spend time and you have to get in the Word. Let's not wait until there's a problem. Amen? We don't know what's coming, but it's coming. Yes. Yeah. Right? We know who's coming. And so therefore, we're not uncertain. Are you uncertain about his provision for your future? If you are, we need to get in the Word of God because that will bring fear into your life and that will shut you up. That's what happens when we're uncertain about all of God's promises being yea and amen in our lives. at that moment, then we step back and then we have fear. We've got to be in the Word of God so that we are certain about what He had said. Are you certain you're saved this morning? Are you sure? There's no doubt in your mind that every single one of your nasty, dark, disgusting sins has been washed away. Do you agree that nobody can accuse you before the Father? Right, so you can come before Him anytime you want. Right, and He's going to provide all the way through eternity. Do you agree that when you die and you close your eyes, He's going to grab you by the spiritual hand and pull you into His presence? Right, see, so if that's all set, do you agree that He hears and answers the cry of your heart when He said your whole family shall be saved?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Then let's rejoice over our families now before we ever see it, because that's what faith does, amen? When we're not uncertain, we don't have fear. We don't have fear. Remember what we said before? When you walk into a room, two thoughts. You don't need anything from anyone in that room because your God has already met every one of your needs. And that's number one. You don't need anything. Therefore, you're free to minister to everyone. And everyone in that room needs what you have. And His name is Jesus. If you walk into a room with those two thoughts, everything changes. Because now all of a sudden you don't need anything. That's a good feeling, isn't it? You walk in, you're not trying to be somebody. Right? My wife said, watch when men walk into a room. We were younger. They come in with their wives. They walk into a room full of men. All of a sudden now I gotta look different. I gotta carry myself different. I gotta try to whatever the thought is. They have nothing you need, but you have everything that they need. It's a different season. We need to get into prayer. We need to get into the Word of God. God's changing it right now. And I want you to know that old shell's got to come off. I got a friend of mine that called me. He had a business. And in the business, him and his partner, they built something. His partner stole all of his patents. Stole them all. Went in and changed his name. Got his name off of all the patents. Stole the whole business. He went into depression. Went in his garage 6 months. Deep depression. Been working on this for years. Partner for years. All these patents for years. Didn't know what to do. After 6 months, God gave him a word. He said, huh. He came out, started building something else. One door after another started to open. He started to see where people were interested in this. And he called me. Before, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars that he lost. He got a phone call from a certain investment company. They said, hey, I think with the way that you're tracking, because he's overseas now, with other countries working with this. He said, in the next 2 years, between $1 and $4 billion company. I said, how do I get in? God builds the man before He builds the plan. His old shell couldn't handle it. When he went through it, he got close to God and he said, I don't care about the money. I just want to build the kingdom. But before, he was really impressed with what he was doing. So God has to make them. I don't know, maybe you had something going and you were really encouraged and all of a sudden you got slapped down. Maybe you got knocked out. Maybe you've been hiding in your basement like he did. I don't know, but I want you to know God's building you. Don't stop pressing in, because what he wants you to carry is bigger than what you've experienced already. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. There's going to be a lot more people coming and asking you questions. How did you stand so strong in those end times? And you can tell them, but God, it was all Him. And He made me in the darkness. And then He brought me into His marvelous light. And He changed me forever. Let's stand up this morning. Second Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, it says, therefore, being always of good courage, just shake your neighbor's hand and say, be courageous. Yeah. But we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk according to the word, not what you see. You walk out of here mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You don't care what's going on out there. You, the one that's in you, is greater than anything that's happening out there. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible, what? To please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he's a what? A rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. That's right, this is a time of pressing in and getting diligent about the word, diligent in prayer, and telling everybody else, sorry, I don't have time. Not until I'm done with me and my King. Then I'll have something to give you when you ask. Because until then, I'm very limited. But I know when I get done with the Father, nothing's impossible. Because I believe. Amen. Father, this morning we come and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the season that we're in. And Lord, we're looking forward to the season. We're not complaining like the rest of the world. We're not worried like the world is. Lord, our faith and our trust is in you. And you have brought us to a place, Lord, that you have made us stronger day by day. You brought us into a season now. Lord, we want to break that shell off. We want that new shell. We want that new wineskin. Holy Spirit, come this morning and fill each and every one. Fill them up this morning, Lord. And Lord, let it be that they say, no, I don't want that old wineskin. I've got to lay that old man down. I got to lay them old thoughts down, them old desires down. I just want him. And Father, I pray that in this season, as the leaves have changed, as the trees have become bare, and yet your beauty still is manifested. Father, that no matter what it looks like in the natural, that your beauty is manifested through each and every one of us as we serve our King. Father, today, we magnify you. We surrender to the authority of your word. We surrender to the authority of the house. We surrender right now so that you would be magnified. And just as those four ministers did on the Dorchester in the icy waters, Lord, let us hand our life raft or our life vest to someone next to us. Let us reach out our hand and give them Jesus. Help us to reach out our hand and pray for them even when they don't believe. Help us to bless no matter what they look like, where they come from, and what we think in our mind according to the world. Lord, let it be that everyone we see is an opportunity, because you're the one that has prepared us for this season in our lives to change the world. Thank you for the warriors of righteousness. Let them gird themselves up every day, each one of us, with the full armor, leaving off nothing each day. And walk out victorious in Jesus Christ who strengthens us. We honor you today, my King. In Jesus' name, amen.